And our text of Scripture for our meeting tonight is the verse number 40 of John's Gospel and the chapter number 5. I'll read that verse with you again. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. And he says, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Now the Bible says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And while the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, he revealed this great purpose. And this he did by constantly, indeed continually, inviting people to trust in him for salvation. And there are many examples of this in the Gospels. Yes, his invitations to salvation were given out to people from many different backgrounds and many different walks and avenues of life. And this is because the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross is sufficient. Yes, it is sufficient to save all from sin, whoever they are, who will trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You see, the Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus and says of Christ, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And throughout his earthly life, his earthly ministry, yes, Christ was ever calling sinners to seek him for salvation. But although Christ invited people to come to him for salvation, sadly there were those who did not heed his gracious invitation. Yes, there were those who sadly refused his offer of grace and his offer of mercy. And such people are those that are highlighted by the words of Christ in our text here this evening in John chapter 5 and the verse number 40. When he says of such, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." With these words here before us, the Lord Jesus Christ was referring to certain Jews in his own day. And such would not accept him as their Savior and as their Lord. Despite the very fact that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world in the Father's name, despite the very fact that he came to this world with the full mandate and blessing of heaven upon him, there were these people and they turned away from him. They refused him and they refused to have anything to do with Jesus Christ as Savior whatsoever. Notice how he describes them and speaks of them in the verses that follow on from our text. Look at verse 42 and verse 43. He says, "Because I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I came in my Father's name, and ye received me not." He came with the blessing of God the Father. Remember the words of Christ at the baptism of Christ. They said of Christ, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Yet despite this very fact, there are those and they had no love in their heart for him during his earthly ministry. Hence he says there in verse 43, "Ye receive me not." Yes, he speaks of such in our text. He says, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." But you know, as well as being applied to certain Jews in the day of Christ, these words here in our text in verse number 40 are words that can also be applied to all who continue to reject Jesus Christ as Savior right until this very moment in time. Dear friend, if you're with us tonight in this gospel meeting and you're still not saved, then this is the Lord's word for you tonight and for your heart in this gospel meeting. The Lord, as he speaks to you to our text, he says, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Yes, this is the Lord's description for all, whoever they are, wherever they are to be found, right till this very moment in time, who continue to turn away and to reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, as their Redeemer, and as their Lord. He says, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Now, in these words of Christ, there are a number of very important truths for us all to note that I want us to look at and to consider here tonight from this text. First of all, you see here in our verse the true condition of all mankind. The true condition of all mankind. The Lord Jesus says, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." What is the opposite of life? It is death. Therefore, we see here that the natural condition of all mankind before God, it is one of death. You see, by nature before God, man is under the very sentence of death. It's upon him. You think of God's warning to Adam at the beginning of time regarding eating the fruit of the forbidden fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God said to Adam, he said, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof. For in the day that thou eatest thereof," he said, "thou shalt surely die." Whenever Adam listened to Satan, disobeyed God, sinned against God, and took the forbidden fruit, the sentence of death came upon Adam. Not only did it come upon Adam, it passed from Adam upon all mankind. The Bible says, as in Adam, all die. And my, this is the natural condition of us all, whoever we are. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible declares, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." When you and I came into this world, we were condemned to die because of that sinful nature within our hearts. Yes, the Bible says we are condemned already. And can I say that is why every one of us will all die should the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ tarry. Because of our sinful nature, one day the breath will leave our very bodies. This is an unavoidable fact. This is a fact that is inescapable. The hymn writer was right when they said, "All by nature are doomed to die. So saith the Holy Word." Yes, by nature before God, man is under the sentence of death. But we can say further tonight that the sentence of death, it also means that man by nature is spiritually dead before God. The Bible tells us about man and his natural condition, and this is what the Bible says. It says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." The Bible says we are dead in trespasses and in sins. And my, just as a corpse is helpless and lifeless, so left to ourselves apart from the grace of God. You and I, naturally speaking, we have no natural desire for the things of God and for the ways of God. In fact, we have the very opposite regarding our nature. We have a natural desire for that which is evil and that which is wrong in the sight of God and that which is contrary to God. You remember what the Bible says about man and his sinful nature in John's Gospel, chapter 3, in the verse 19, it says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men," it says, "love darkness rather than light, because their deeds of evil." Within the heart of every one of us by nature, there is no natural desire for the things of God, but rather it's the exact opposite. There's a natural desire for that which is evil and sinful and wrong in the sight of God. That's because we are dead in trespasses and in sins, and with no ability ourselves to save ourselves from the awful ruin, the awful plight of our sin. That is why the Bible declares that salvation is of the Lord, that salvation belongeth unto the Lord. It is only by God's grace in Christ that you and I can be saved from the awful ruin and plight of our sin within. Yes, by nature, before God, man is under the sentence of death. This sentence, yes, means that by nature, man is spiritually dead in the sight of God. But the sentence of death also means that
man will suffer eternal punishment and hell if he leaves this world, if he leaves this scene of time, an unrepentant sinner before God. You see, the Bible says, of such whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Turning your Bible over to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Look with me, please, at verses 7, 8, and 9 of that chapter. And here you read of the awful end of the unsaved. And the context here is that the coming of Christ. But this is really what will happen to all who die unsaved, who leave this world unsaved, all who will come before the Lord at the end of the world unsaved, unrepentant. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 7 says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." That speaks of the unrepentant sinner being punished eternally for their sin in hell, in the lake of fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And dear friend, can I say this? This will be your awful plight for all of eternity if you leave this world unsaved, an unrepentant sinner, without God's salvation. Oh yes, see here tonight in our text the true condition of all mankind. Man is under the sentence of death. If you're not saved tonight, you're still under that sentence. You're separated from God. You're dead in trespasses in sin. The Bible says you're on the broad road, the broad way to a lost eternity and hell itself. Oh, how awful the cost. The hymn writer says, "If my soul should be lost, and in hell if I die as I am." Oh, yes, we see here the true condition of all mankind. But not only do we see here in our text the true condition of all mankind, notice secondly, we see here also the true source of life for all mankind. Look again at what Christ says in our text. He says, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." And the very fact here that in this verse Christ mentions the word life in connection with himself to these people to whom he's speaking, it really shows that he himself is the true source of all life. He says, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." He was telling them that he was the source of life. And that was his constant message throughout his earthly ministry. He could say, "I am the resurrection and the life." He could say, "I am the life." He could say, "I am the bread of life." Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is the source of pardoning life for every sinner. You see, through the Lord Jesus, yes, you and I can know all our sins forgiven, pardoned by God. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus and says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." And it was by his own sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he purchased this pardon for us. You remember what Christ himself said about his own death and blood shedding upon the cross in the Gospel of Matthew. He said, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Why did Jesus die? Why was he there upon that cross? The hymn writer says, to shed his blood for the remission of our sins. And it's by trusting Christ as Savior that you and I can receive and know this pardon for all our sins before Almighty God. And that's the message of the gospel. You remember the words of Paul as he preached to the people of Antioch about Christ. In Acts chapter 13, verse 38, he said these words, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins,
and by him all that believe are justified from all things in which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And there Paul, as he preached, was telling the people it was through Christ, through faith in Christ, through resting on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ alone, that they could know their sins forgiven. Friend, the gospel message is still the same tonight. Yes, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, whoever you are in our meeting tonight, you can know, you can be sure of all of your sins forgiven by God. The hymn writer was most right when they said, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Oh, as you think of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, see him as the source of pardoning life. Through him, you can know, praise God, all your sins forgiven, pardoned, blotted out. He says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my known name's sake. Not only is Christ the source of pardoning life, Christ is also the source of spiritual life for the sinner. For he says, I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. You think of the words of Christ in John 15, verse number 5, speaking to his disciples about spiritual fruit in their lives, in other words, about grace in their lives to live to the glory of God. He said this, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And there he was speaking to the disciples, and he was saying it was by them being joined to Christ, in union with Christ, that they could know this spiritual life, that they could bring forth fruit in their lives to the glory and to the honor of the Lord. And likewise, friend, tonight in our gospel meeting, can I say it's by trusting Christ as Savior that you and I also can receive the Lord's grace and power and be enabled. Be enabled to live the Christian life. Be enabled to live for God's honor and glory day by day, and can know the dominion of sin and the chains and the fetters of sin broken in our lives. The Lord speaks to those that are in union with Christ, and his word says, sin shall not have dominion over you. And that's because of the grace and the power of God through his Spirit dwelling in the hearts and lives of his people. My, it is by his own precious blood, by the precious blood that Christ shed on Calvary's cross, that he purchased this power for us. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, how much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Think again of the words of the hymn writer. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, you can know life more abundant. You can know grace and power to live to God's honor and glory. Know your sins forgiven. But we can say further tonight, not only is Christ the source of pardoning life, not only is he the source of spiritual life, the Lord Jesus is the true source of eternal life, everlasting life. For every sinner who trusts him as Savior, and he purchased this gift for us by his precious blood when he suffered and bled and died and satisfied the justice of God on the cross of Calvary and said, it is finished. Well, listen to the words of the apostle as he speaks of Christ in the book of Hebrews chapter 5. In verses 8 and 9 he says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. By the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. That phrase, eternal salvation, means everlasting life, life forevermore to those who obey Christ, to those who trust Christ by faith to be their Savior. Friend, tonight in our meeting, can I say, these are the tremendous gifts that God freely offers to you tonight in the gospel through his Son. The Bible speaks of Christ and his death upon the cross, and it says
He led captivity captive, and he obtained gifts for men. There's the gift of pardon for you, the pardoning of all your sins. There's the gift of spiritual life for you, grace and power and strength to live for God in this scene of time. And then there's the gift of everlasting life, a home in heaven, a place in glory, a mansion in the sky, as the hymn writer says. This has all been purchased for us by the blood of Christ. When he offered himself without spot unto God, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. And praise God, the Bible says that with his stripes we are healed. Oh, as you look at our text tonight, see, yes, our lost, sinful condition. If you're not saved tonight, you're dead in trespasses and in sins. But there's hope tonight, hope for you in Christ. For Christ is the true source of life. But notice not only the source of life, and notice not only the true description of man and his sin. Notice thirdly from our text tonight, the way for all mankind to obtain this life that is found in Christ. How can a sinner obtain this life? Well, look at what our text says. Look at what Christ says. He says to these people to whom he was addressing that day, he says, "And ye will not come to me that you might have life." Notice that little phrase there, "come to me." And here Christ is speaking, and he was saying to the people that before him that day, it was by them coming to Christ that they could obtain this life that he has purchased for sinners upon the cross. And friend, in our meeting tonight, it's still the same. It's by you coming to Christ, to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you can obtain this life that is purchased for us at the cross. The Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Bible speaks of Christ and says, he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And friend, if you are to know pardon for all your sins, if you are to know grace to live the Christian life, if you're to be saved from hell and sure of heaven, as it says in our text, you must come to Christ. Christ speaks to your heart through our text tonight, and he says to you in your need as a sinner before God tonight, he says, "Come to me." He says, "Come unto me." He says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." And surely this leads every one of us tonight to ask the question, what does it mean to come to Christ? How do you and I come to Christ? Well, friend, in coming to Christ for salvation, you must come to him just as you are, a poor and a needy lost sinner before God. That's how it was with David. He says, "Behold, I am poor and needy," and coming to him for salvation, you must come confessing your sins, admitting your sins, acknowledging your lost, sinful condition before God. That is how it was with the publican when he smote his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He acknowledged his sin. That's how it was with Isaiah the prophet when he says, "Woe is me, I am undone. I am a man," he says, "of unclean lips." He came as he was, as a poor and needy sinner. Friend, that's how you come to Christ, acknowledging your need as a sinner, and you come to him repenting of your sins. The Lord says, turn ye from your evil ways. And repentance means a turning away from our sins. It means, yes, a willingness to give up our sins. The Bible says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of." And repentance there means a change of mind, a change of heart regarding our sins and our iniquities and transgressions before God. Whenever you're on a journey, maybe you're going to visit someone you've never been to before, maybe on holiday or whatever, and you take a wrong drive, you take a wrong road, and you're on a wrong journey, what do? You stop where you are, you turn around, and You go in the right direction to your destination, wherever that is. And friend, repentance is you stopping on the journey of sin in your life before God, and it's you forsaking your sins, turning around, turning toward the God of heaven. Think of the prodigal son when he came to himself and repentance before the Lord. He forsook the far country. He forsook the riotous living. He forsook his sin, and he turned to the Lord. That is repentance, turning away from sin, turning to the Lord. That's how you come to Christ, as a poor and needy sinner, confessing your need as a sinner, repenting of your sin, and in coming to Christ for salvation, you come to him by faith alone, and you trust in him. Rest upon him alone, and his sacrifice and his blood shed upon Calvary's cross. Trust in Christ alone for the salvation of your soul and the cleansing, the pardoning of all your sin before Almighty God. That's how it was of the hymn writer, for she said, "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." She came as a poor and needy repentant sinner to Christ. And she came to rest upon Christ, to trust in Christ and nothing else and no one else but in Christ alone, in his blood alone, for the cleansing away of her sins before Almighty God. That is how it was with the psalmist David. Turn with me back to Psalm 51. Here we see David before the Lord, and he's confessing his sins before the Lord. And here we see him in faith looking to the Lord for cleansing from his sins by the blood of Christ. Psalm 51, look at what he says in verse 2, and he's before the Lord. And he says, "Wash me truly from mine iniquity." Notice it, cleanse me from my sin. He was dealing with his own sin here before the Lord. Verse 7, he says, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than the snow." Verse 10, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." He came in faith to the Lord. And that's how you're saved. That's how you come to Christ. Come as a poor and needy sinner by faith, repenting of your sin, and asking the Lord Jesus, trusting the Lord Jesus, to wash away your sins by his precious blood. The hymn writer says, "Wash me, O Lamb of God, wash me from sin by thine atoning blood. O, make me clean." Friend, this is how it must be with you if you are to be saved. This is how you must come to Christ. Trust him. Trust in his blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Trust in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ for acceptance with God. Dear friend, there's no other way of salvation than by you coming to Christ, trusting Christ, laying hold upon Christ by the hand of faith. He says tonight in our text, he says, "Come to me." Friend unsaved, will you heed that invitation? The Lord, as he speaks to your heart tonight in this meeting through his word, he says, "Come to me." He says, "Come unto me. Come tonight just as you are, a poor and needy sinner. And trust him, call upon him for salvation." Notice one final thought tonight from our text, and it is a very solemn thought, and it is simply this: the true cause of why people perish in hell. What is the true cause of why people perish in hell? Well, look again at what Christ says. He says, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Notice those words, "ye will not come to me." There's the true cause of why people perish in their sin. Dear friend, tonight in this meeting, you may be a good neighbor to all around you in life. You may be religious. You may be baptized. You may be catechized. You may be dedicated as a child, confirmed as a child.
You may be honest and upright and hardworking and respected by others in society. You may be most generous and giving to others in need. Whoever they are, you wouldn't pass them by. Yes, friend, you may be all these things. But I want to say to you tonight, these things are not good enough to save your soul and to make you right with God. You see, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Dear friend, unless you come to Christ, as it says in our text, and you trust in Him alone as Savior, then you will remain lost in your sin, and you will most surely perish in your sin if you die in that state without coming to Christ for salvation. You see, the Bible says, he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? If you neglect Christ, if you neglect coming unto Christ, there's no escape from hell and judgment and from the wrath to come for you. Turn with me over, please, to the last book of the Bible, to Revelation chapter number 21. Revelation chapter 21. And look there at verse number 8 of the chapter. Here God's word tells us of all those who will be lost in hell. And I want you to see how the word of God describes them. Revelation 21 verse 8, it says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. My, in that list are those involved in deep sin, maybe things that we would say we've nothing to do with. But I want you to notice how that list begins. It says, but the fearful shall have their part in the lake of fire. It says, but the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone. Those who are fearful and those who are full of unbelief. Friend, don't let the fear of others, whoever they are, keep you back from coming to Christ for salvation. Friend, don't let the world, don't let the devil, don't let the love of sin and the love of the world keep you back from Christ. Oh, don't let the fear of man or the love of family or friends keep you back from Christ. Don't let false religion keep you back from Christ. Don't let the guilt of your past sins, whatever your sins are, keep you back from Christ. I fear that's one of the tools in the devil's arsenal that he uses most of all. It is the guilt of our past sin that he uses to keep souls back from Christ. Don't let that be an excuse. That's the devil's deception. That's the devil's ploy. That's the devil's tactic. Don't let that keep you back from Christ. For what does the Bible say? It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Dear friend, whoever you are tonight, whatever your sin is or your past sin has been, don't let that hold you back from coming now tonight to Christ. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The Lord says, come now. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Oh, don't go away tonight without trusting the Lord. And without you coming personally to Christ and trusting Him for salvation. We'll close our meeting tonight. Be turning in our hymn book, please, to the hymn number 269. 269, and the page number 284. I've wandered far away from God, now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod, Lord, I'm coming home. Let's sing the first verse and verse 3. And then verses 5 and 6 along with the chorus. Verse 1, verse 3, verses 5 and 6. We'll stand as we sing. And oh, if you're not saved tonight, you'd even heed the message of this hymn.
And you'd come to Christ, as it says there, come home to Christ. Know him as your Savior and as your Lord. 269 verses 1 and 3, and then the last two verses, 5 and 6, standing as we sing.
Thank thee tonight for thy presence with us here in thy house. We thank thee, Lord, for help given in the preaching of thy word. And Father, we pray that thou wilt take thy word and write it upon our hearts. How Christ said, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Lord, for any in our meeting tonight still unsaved, oh, that tonight they would heed his invitation, that would come unto Christ, trust him as Savior. No cleansing by his precious blood. Know what it is to be saved, to receive eternal life, and to be ready for heaven. Speak on, we beseech of thee to this end. Take us now to our homes in safety. Journey with us, we pray. Keep your hand upon us all for good in the week that lies before us. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen.